Now, all through the season of Lent, this sermon series will contain both religious and scientific perspectives on topics reflected upon in the scriptures that apply to our daily lives. It's fun to tap into my doctorate of ministry background and share some of the things I learned with you from that, and from my healthcare background too. It's always fun to make that connection. So I'll be using the lectionary passages and connecting them to our Lenten series topics. And then on Wednesday nights, we will have this coming Wednesday, the first science and religion study. If you want to come for soup, come at 5:30 and then stay, because at 6:30 till 8, we'll be in the Rose Room talking about science and religion. So since today is Valentine's Day, we will be talking about love and the understanding of love from both a scientific and a biblical viewpoint. Now, today's scripture passage does not contain the word love, but it shows us how faith in God sustains us and makes us resilient against temptation. And that is what love is. Love sustains us and makes us more resilient. God's love helps us resist temptations and reassures us that God is with us even in our darkest moments. Now, in this passage, the devil is the embodiment of a destructive force that wants only to see Jesus self-destruct by succumbing to the temptation to demonstrate his powers for selfish reasons. We remember in Star Wars how often Darth Vader would try to do that to get Luke Skywalker and others to come over to the dark side. So you can imagine in the place of the devil, you see Darth Vader. The devil in this passage is the opposite of God. The devil is the power of hate, and our God is the power of love. Love overcomes hate and selfishness, and love provides the way out of a self-destructive path. Now, we all have a devilish, self-centered tendency lurking within our brains, hoping to tempt us to be powerfully and foolishly selfish and untrusting of God. But when we focus our brains on doing all we can out of love and faith in God, then the devil has no hold on us. But it takes strength and it takes focus. God is love, according to 1 John 4:8. And 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because God first loved us." Now, Jesus was able to overcome the devil's temptations because he was sure of who he was. He was sure of God's love because he was the divine incarnate. And he knew what his purpose was, to personally demonstrate in the flesh what God's love looks like. He came to show us that God's love is so deep that he would go to the cross and make the ultimate sacrifice for each one of us. Now, the power of love that surpasses all our human understanding is here and now. And at our time of death, it is waiting to receive us into the next stage of eternal life. I have seen glimpses of it when I was with people in their time of transition between life and death. And it's so reassuring, actually, to have that opportunity to see them begin to feel the love that's beyond anything they could imagine. And I'm convinced that that love is even deeper and more amazing than any of us can imagine. In God's mysterious ways, God heals and provides a path that keeps our connection to God's love despite our wayward mistakes in this life. Now, Mr. Rogers, who was ordained as a Presbyterian minister before he started his TV career, said this about love. "Love isn't a state of perfect caring. It is an active noun-like struggle. To love someone is to strive to accept that person exactly the way he or she is, right here and now." And then Bill Bright, who founded Campus Crusade for Christ, kind of elaborated on this more And he said there are three truths about love that we all should know. Bright says that love is the greatest power ever known. And the first truth about love is God loves you unconditionally. God loves you in spite of your disobedience, your weakness, your sin, and your selfishness. And God loves you enough to provide a way to abundant and eternal life. Now, the second truth about love is God's love reaches beyond our circumstances. The early Christians endured persecution, hardships, and unbelievable suffering. Yet Paul wrote to them, "Who then can ever keep Christ's love from us? When we have trouble or calamity, when we are hunted down or destroyed, is it because God doesn't love us anymore? And if we are hungry or penniless or in danger or threatened with death, has God deserted us? No, for the scriptures tell us that for his sake we must be ready to face death at every moment of the day, trusting that victory is ours through Christ, who loved us more than we can ask for or imagine. For I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love." Now, Bill Bright says that such love is beyond our ability to grasp with our minds, but it's not beyond our ability to experience it with our hearts. So the third truth about love is viewing others as God's creation motivates us to love. As a Christian, we must love our neighbors. It is the main commandment Jesus gave us after the command to love God with our whole being. We must love our neighbor because they too are creatures of God, made in the image of God. God doesn't say, love only the neighbor who looks and acts like you. Love your homeless neighbor. Love your foreign neighbor. Love the refugee, the immigrant, the drug addicted, the imprisoned, and the mentally ill neighbors. And Jesus takes it even a step further when he said in Matthew 5:43, "There is a saying, love your friends and hate your enemies, but I say, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you." Now, this doesn't mean you have to go over, say, to ISIS and hug them, but prayer is powerful, and it may make some sort of difference in their lives in some mysterious way that God only knows. Sometimes when I'm having trouble thinking about ever loving the enemy, say, of ISIS, I think about their mothers, and I think, what must their mothers be suffering when they can see how murderous their sons have become? And that makes me have empathy for them. So sometimes you have to search for a way. When I'm angry at the person that's making me have road rage, I make myself think, maybe they're really sick and they're on the way to the hospital. Or maybe they just heard really bad news and they're trying to get to the person, you know, that is in need. You know, I try to reframe it in some way so I can have a sense of love and understanding rather than just calling them idiots and wishing I could report them. So it's a struggle, but it's worth the struggle. Like Mr. Rogers says, love is a struggle. So Jesus, when he takes it a step further, is encouraging us all to lose ourselves in loving service to those in need. And so when you are serving others, you're doing it really on behalf of Jesus Christ. Jesus says that we should help others and love others, such as supporting the Haiti mission trip or joining us on the Haiti mission trip. Bright says, when Christians deeply commit to act like Christians and love God, their neighbors, and their enemies, we will see in our time, as in the first century, a great transformation in the whole society. Now, what a wonderful prophecy that is, and we should do all we can to make that come true. Now, the scientific perspective on love analyzes the evidence and concludes that humans are designed to love. For example, our brains respond to love as if given the most powerful addictive drug ever made. There's three biological chemicals involved when you're feeling loved and when you're showing love: oxytocin, vasopressin, and dopamine. Oxytocin, I'm sure you all have heard of, is a hormone released in both male and female brains when they feel loved. And it's also released during childbirth and helps cement the strong bond between mom and baby. Vasopressin is another hormone released in the brain during a loving, long-term relationship, and it produces a feeling of contentment and security. And then the organic chemical dopamine is released not only when you interact with your biological child, but adoptive parents also enjoy an increase in the feel-good chemicals, oxytocin and dopamine, when they're with their adopted children. All children with healthy, loving attachments to their caregivers feel regular rushes of dopamine when spending time with their parents and loving grandparents as well. Now, these feelings of well-being produced by dopamine are similar to the effects of opiate drugs. Some would say that the artificial highs induced by some drugs mirror those intense feelings that flow between loved ones or parent and baby. So there is such a thing as your brain on love. You know, you've seen that art or that commercial, "This is your brain on drugs," and it showed a fried egg. Well, thank goodness this doesn't look like a fried egg. This is your brain on love. And I know there's a lot of details, but they looked at the different parts of the brain that light up when someone feels attracted, someone feels attached to someone, and when someone is feeling a sense of long-term commitment. It's fascinating to look these things up. And it says, interestingly, romantic love and addiction share many of the same neurological pathways. So it's almost like taking a drug. So when a love relationship is lost, though, the lovelorn experiences symptoms of withdrawal, lack of appetite, trouble sleeping, irritability, depression, and poor judgment. All of these can result as a loss of love. And those are also symptoms of grieving. Lent is a perfect time to be focused on God, who encourages us to love ourselves and our neighbors near and far. So I have pledged to put something new to action this Lenten season. I'm putting one thing in a bag every day of the 40 days to give to Goodwill eventually out of my closet. I saw this on Facebook and I thought it was a great idea. So it may seem, you know, silly because you just could pile 40 things in all at once, but it's good to have a practice every day to remind yourself. As humans, we were naturally created to love. When we fearlessly act out of our natural, authentic selves, love flows. So as a result, we feel better because our brains respond positively to the giving and the loving. So do yourself and your brain a favor this Lenten season and be loving as Christ showed us how to love. Reflect daily on your relationship with God, the source of all love. Your loving ways will bring out the best in the people around you and enable them to serve Christ and love others in a fruitful way too. Amen.